Julie, what do you have for us this week?
Well, I talked to Nate Okpich, who is an assistant professor in the School of Social Work. He recently published a book called Climbing a Broken Ladder, Contributors of College Success for Youth in Foster Care. And I learned when reading a little bit about his book and his findings that fewer than 1 in 10 foster youth end up completing a 2 or 4 year college degree. So his book talks about what can be done to support foster youth in pursuing college success. And I asked him what factors are behind that statistic.
First, there is a step of going to college in the first place. And then the second step is persisting through college and then ultimately graduating. And so a study found that some of the factors that decrease our likelihood of going to college were things like academic preparedness in high school, issues with mobility while they're in foster care, the number of foster care placements they were in. And then interestingly, once youth are in college, when we're looking at their chances of ultimately graduating and earning a degree, I found that youth who are parents, youth that had to work extra hours to pay for their bills, and then just that number of economic hardships that youth faced in college. So a lot of these real world difficulties are things that drove down their likelihood of persisting and ultimately earning a degree. If I remember correctly, about half of the youth in the study ever set foot inside of a college classroom. And among those who entered college, less than a quarter ultimately earned a college degree. And it was split about evenly between a 2-year degree and a 4-year degree. So overall, if we're just taking a step back and comparing foster youth to youth that didn't have foster care histories, youth in foster care are about 1/5 or 1/6 as likely to earn a college degree by their mid-20s.
Wow. And obviously there's a lot of different things that come into play and a lot of ways to tackle that. What were some of the recommendations that you made? I know there's some policies that could be changed, some maybe support at colleges, and then even on the individual level, what are some of the things that can be done to address this issue?
When we're looking at the step of getting into college, one of the issues is just the amount of instability that youth experience. Switching from one placement to another, a lot of times when you switch from one foster care home to another home or another type of placement, some youth also have to change schools, change communities. It's a huge disruption in the social connections. You know, you might be in a high school class in one school, takes 2 to 3 weeks to get set up in the next school, and that school doesn't offer that class. So those credits are lost. That's one of the major target areas, is just decreasing the disruption to foster youth's educational experiences when they have to switch placements. For many foster youth, they may not have had family members or community members that have gone to college. So college really is kind of an abstract thing. It's something that a lot of them are told to do. A lot of them say that they want to do. You know, over 80% want to go to college. But in terms of having people accessible to them who can help them with the very concrete steps of preparing for college, many foster youth don't have a really robust network. So one of the recommendations is to make some transformations to the child welfare department. There's a lot of ways that you can do this, such as contracting with agencies that specialize in college advising. Child welfare departments can also develop kind of an in-house specialty, having a child welfare worker who specializes in assisting youth who want to go to college to prepare for college, completing financial aid applications, getting all their ducks in a row academically, searching for colleges, not just applying to colleges that are close and familiar, but colleges where they might actually have a better chance of really succeeding and persisting. And then when we're talking about once you are in college, helping them persist, the one thing is just meeting the financial needs of youth in foster care. Two of the main findings that I mentioned before is that drivers of foster youth leaving college were youth that had to work extra jobs and also youth who ran into economic difficulties. So there are many policies out there that provide money for foster youth to help out with college. Some are generally available, like Pell Grants. Some are specific to foster youth. Making sure that youth know about these resources and are getting the resources that they qualify for, that's a huge thing. And another thing just is the academics. Because of the educational disruptions that youth experienced, also, some youth may have not gone to the schools that were college preparatory schools and secondary school. So linking them to supports on campuses that will ensure that they're academically ready to do well in their classes. One of the really big findings in the study was that of all of the youth that entered college, about half of them didn't make it through their first year.
Wow.
They left college and never returned. So that first year is critical, kind of all hands on deck. What it takes to succeed in college is a whole different ballgame than what may have worked in high school, getting them acclimated to succeed academically, making sure that there are financial resources. And then also meeting some of the other needs that are probably higher prevalence for foster youth, the results of the impact of trauma that they've experienced in the past, making sure that they have links to consistent mental health services that are trauma informed and help to address the trauma.
It's interesting. I'm thinking as you talk about all these supports, there's so many populations that we think about, but I don't know that we necessarily from a college administrator level think about this foster youth population. Do you know how big a percentage of all college students are foster youth?
We don't have great national data. I think we're working on that. It's a small percentage. So this is kind of a small population. And some of the other underrepresented students that have significant barriers, there's a lot of overlap with young people in foster care. You know, one of the differences is that youth in foster care experienced some type of maltreatment that was severe enough that they were removed from their families. And on average, the youth in this study, they moved around to 5 or 6 different placements while they were in foster care, bouncing around from one placement to another, having those ties severed. And the lasting effect of that trauma and the lasting effect of that instability, it carries over and it comes into play when they're in college. A lot of students have family members they can turn to and fall back on for practical things, but also just for emotional support. They're having a really tough time having someone that can pick up the phone and call. For youth in foster care, that may not necessarily be the case. Right now in about 20 states, once youth hit their 18th birthday, foster care ends. They're pretty much on their own. In about 30 states, the age limit is 21. But again, once youth hit their 21st birthday, the state child welfare agency, foster care agency, does not have a responsibility to provide them with housing, to provide the usual supports that a parent would help out with. Yeah, imagine that on your 21st birthday, it's a very abrupt transition where all of a sudden you may find yourself homeless or just not really sure what to do and just out of a lot of resources. And you know, in some conversations I've had with youth in foster care in college, I remember one who was, you would say, a success story. She transferred to community college soon after finishing high school, was doing great. She was 20 years old in her last semester of college. And instead of thinking about graduation, she was thinking about where she was going to live the month after she had age 21. And this, again, this was in the last semester of college. And she was thinking, do I have to drop out of college just so I can earn enough money to pay rent? So these are some very real challenges and real struggles that youth in care are facing. And, you know, COVID has intensified that.
Are there certain things that address that you're looking to maybe advocate for on a national level?
I'd say one step would be extended foster care. There was a law that was passed in 2008 and then came into effect in 2010 that basically gave states the option to extend the foster care age limit from 18 to 21. And the federal government would subsidize that. As I mentioned before, about 3 in 5 states have federally approved laws, but 2 in 5 don't. So I think one step is for those states to sign on to extended foster care. I think we also need to think about the age limit of 21. Realistically, is age 21 a time when we think youth are ready to be on their own and are set and prepared? Usually, again, with students who are academically successful in college, that's right in the middle of their college career. Another one has to do with another type of grant specifically for youth in foster care. It's called an education and training voucher. It's been around for about 20 years. 2002, the amount that foster youth can receive per year to help out with college expenses, $5,000. Fast forward 20 years, the amount that foster youth can receive to help out with college, $5,000. Cost of college has skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. That has not kept pace with inflation. So I think another suggestion would be to change the law so that this education and training voucher keeps pace with the rising cost of college and just inflation in general, kind of like how Pell Grants are adjusted. And then the third thing is we've been seeing in the past 20 years, especially the last 10 years, just a flurry of college campuses that have developed support programs specifically designed for youth in foster care. Some also serve other vulnerable populations such as homeless youth. They're called campus support programs. Well over 200 campuses around the U.S. have these programs, and there's a lot of variation in them in terms of what supports they provide. A lot of them provide one-on-one advising and counseling, linking to services. Some provide emergency funds, such as book funds and so forth. But one of the problems is that most of these programs are not funded by public dollars. They're funded by a cobbling of private dollars, maybe some public dollars. So their sustainability from year to year is in question. Having a steady stream of stable funding that from the federal government that would help to establish these programs at campuses where foster youth commonly attend.
How did you come to study this, and where did your interest come from in this issue?
I started out with a master's degree in clinical psychology, and I worked in a few different positions as a mental health therapist in a high school, in a residential treatment center, in a wraparound program that served young people with mental health illnesses that were also involved in the criminal justice system. And through my work in that, some of the youth that I came in contact with were in foster care, or they were formerly in foster care. That professional experience really put me in touch with the trauma and the difficulties that many of these youth encounter. But these young people, one of the things that amazed me is just how strong and how resilient they are. Some of these youth have gone through more trouble than adults have experienced in their whole life, but they're still there. They're still fighting. And then ultimately, I returned for a master's in social work degree. While I was there, I worked in higher education as a building director at Rutgers University for 3 years, and then had a few other experiences in education as a middle school teacher, as an SAT instructor for Upward Bound. Those two threads of my professional experience just kind of dovetailed together. And once I was in my MSW program, I started reading studies that focused on higher education for foster youth. And the statistics just astounded me. And I just thought, we can do better. These youth deserve better. We can do better. So that's really what kind of drove me into a PhD program and then eventually into this line of research.